This is PWTorch.com editor Wade Keller, along with Torch columnist Bruce Mitchell for the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show Part 1 for Friday, October 24th. Bruce, I want to start off with entertainers and wrestlers. Vince McMahon is taking things a step further as far as trying to back away from the term wrestling on his programs. I put up a Keller's take earlier today about this. I just think it's nonsense. It's illogical. It makes no sense. It's bad for business. And there's other ways to accomplish the goal he wants, which is to avoid taxes and regulation. I just think it sounds ludicrous to have Matt Stryker referring to wrestlers as entertainers in the context of a wrestling show. Where do you stand on this?
Well, let's say that Randy Orton comes back and he gets with Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase, and they jump a returning John Cena. Are they going to just say that? Are they going to say that the three bad guys are entertaining the hell out of John Cena while he's beating on him? I mean, it's just, you know, how do they describe what's going to? Man, they're just entertaining their butts off in this match. I mean, how are you going to describe what's going on in the ring? I mean, it's just, you know, I didn't think of it much as trying to dodge some sort of taxes or some sort of charges on sports or anything, as to this long running obsession with trying to avoid being labeled with exactly what they are being labeled. I mean, just the irony of the fact that he won the pro wrestling wars, so he is, you know, Vince McMahon is the face of pro wrestling, and his company is the public personification of pro wrestling, and so he thinks that somehow that's going to change by calling it something else. I mean, if I could somehow make everybody that I know at school and everybody I know everywhere else call me handsome, like, you know, instead of calling me Bruce, they could call me handsome, or Mr. Mitchell, they could call me handsome. Would that mean that I was all of a sudden good looking?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's pretty ridiculous, and it's just a sign of something, you know, these little signs of the edges around this man that something's kind of strange about him,
to not see this just is baffling to me. How do you not get that calling them entertainers just makes no sense? I mean, I wrote my editorial, it's like if the doctors and nurses on House started referring to each other in the context of the show as hello actor who plays a nurse or hello, performer. I mean, you just don't do that. When a wrestling show starts, it's a drama. It's a scripted drama. It's a simulated sport. If you have a movie on baseball, you don't refer to the people on the field as entertainers. In the context of the movie, they're not actors. They become players. It just astounds me. Like you said,
The idea, I mean, I think a lot of the idea that's been this way, the sports entertainment was part of it. And it was ridiculous with sports entertainment, too. But this idea that there's this stigma to pro wrestling. Well, there is a stigma to pro wrestling. There's been one for as long as I've been a fan. And for all kinds of different reasons. It used to be just because it claimed to be something that it wasn't. There was this, it was fake. It's fake. It's fake.
And this still has that. I mean, there's still that issue. You and I go for it.
There's this cultural thing. There's this cultural bias against it that I would say they've earned, but it's there. So you want to get away. So you want to get away from that. Well, it made more sense to me when he tried to go into pro football, XFL. You were getting away from it because you were doing something else than pro wrestling or the WBA, the world bodybuilding thing, and you know, you're doing something else.
Yeah.
WBF, okay. You're doing something else besides pro wrestling. You're making movies. But if you don't want people to think that you're pro wrestling in a country where there's been pro wrestling as part of the culture, some way, shape, or form, you know, on television for decades, goes back 100 years, then here's what you do. You take down the ring. You have the guys not dress in Trump, and you don't have any matches.
Right.
That's how you get away from pro wrestling. I mean, that's how you get away from being identified as pro wrestling. But as long as you have that stuff, you can call it whatever you want to. It's pro wrestling. I mean, it's, you know, they
but
have
you know matches. What, Bruce? You know what? I'll slightly disagree with you. Only in this respect, I think you're making a different argument than what specifically applied this week, and I know you're talking big picture and all that, you know, we're sports entertainment, not pro wrestling, and to that argument it applies, but this week I think it comes down simply to not getting the basic structure of how you present a drama. Because when the show starts, they are wrestlers in that drama. I know you get that. It is just nonsense to have the announcers who are part of the show. They're not journalists reporting on the industry. Like, I think it's fine if Linda McMahon at the next stockholder conference call says, we have 72 entertainers under contract right now. That's fine. You call them entertainers in the context of a stockholder conference call. If you want to talk to the trade journal, if multi-channel news calls up and says, we heard that John Cena got injured, Vince McMahon can be quoted or the PR guy can be quoted saying, well, John Cena is one of our top entertainers and we're sorry to see him go down. I'm totally fine with that because you're talking about them outside of the context of the TV show. But there aren't words to describe how illogical and ludicrous it is to, in the context of a show about people having fights, referring to them as entertainers. Because like you said at the beginning, if you take that to the next logical step, you have to start referring to punches and chops as simulated violence strikes. And you have to stop referring to it a wrestling ring and start referring to it as a performance stage. I mean, you just can't start down this road without finishing it, because you can't go part of the way with it. So now, but history-wise, I think it is kind of important, and you touched on it, why Vince wanted to call it sports entertainment at the beginning, because he was very big in the late 80s on saying the NWA is not our competition. The world class is not our competition. He wanted to separate himself, and he felt he needed to. And you talk about the history of that a little bit, because there was some good reason behind it, because of the stigma and because of regulations, and just
a lot of it's too. Nobody in pro wrestling had that vision, except for the Japanese, to look for, you know, major sponsorship, to sell merchandise, to sell all the merchandise that we've been very successful selling. I mean, and so, you know, the idea was, we're not competing in this small pond, you know, we're not swimming in this small pond with the rest of the pro wrestling promotions, just trying to run an hour TV show to get our arena shows up. We want to brand ourselves in all these different ways. And what we're really competing with is Disney, because Disney is the most successful of all the corporate entities at doing that, of having all these different revenue streams, of having their product seen in all these, you know, all these different ways and all these different media that makes them money. And so it was hard to get advertisers to come to pro wrestling, but he wanted to call it something, you know, he wanted to have it be just, and at that point he didn't take the word wrestling out of it, he just wanted to think that WWF, that the World Wrestling Federation, was a new category.
Yeah.
That was, you know, I mean, it was as irritating as it could be for people who are already wrestling fans who thought there was nothing wrong with the old style of wrestling, he did particularly have a new way of marketing what he was doing. And, you know, in that sense, in a larger sense, he wanted, you know, the goal was to have Budweiser and, you know, the major car companies and everybody that you see in the NFL, the NFL games are sponsored by, the major sponsors come in. And he's never quite gotten there. And in the last 10 or 15 years, what's really held him back from it is the vulgarity of the show and the scandals that surround, the drug scandals that surround pro wrestling, all of which are things that factors that I'd argue that the way he ran his company, he aggravated those factors. He didn't make those factors better. And it was under his control that he could have done that. I just don't see why, if he feels that way about and I think there's also something about, as much as he carves his own family legacy, there's something about separating, and, you know, it's an American story of, you know, the first generation ethnic groups come in and immigrants come in. A lot of times they're involved in crime because there's nothing else for, you know, they're closed off from everything else. And then, you know, the story of, you know, the Godfather mythology. Then you try to take your family to the top of the crime world. Then you try to go legitimate. And it's an American story, and it's happened a lot. And I think, I'm not saying, it's not that Vince McMahon was in crime or his family was in crime, but it was in this lower form of entertainment that was spat on and looked down upon, and he wants to take the family out of that and go completely legitimate. And you can see, you know, that chip on his shoulder about rich people, even though, you know, he has all the traits of very rich people.
Yeah.
He doesn't see himself as one. He hates
because
he can't get into the country club. He can't get. He's not part of the. You know, it's like you want to be not just rich. You don't want to be nouveau rich. You want to be respectable rich. You want to be powerful. And when you cut away from that, I think that's psychologically. I think some of that's pretty deep seated. But it just doesn't. You know, it just doesn't serve the product, and it doesn't serve the customers.
Yeah.
And you know, I can see getting away from Russ.
All right. That concludes the 5-minute free clip of today's VIP audio show. If you're interested in having access to the complete audio shows that run between 10 minutes up to sometimes an hour, 15 minutes each, just click on the VIP sign-up info button in the upper left corner of the screen at pwtorch.com on any page, right under our logo. And you can get more details on all the features you get with the VIP membership, including around 50 VIP exclusive audio shows per month start to finish, along with a lot more ad-free access to the site, the PW Torch Today PDF bulletins that come out most days that I write with the breaking news and analysis, and so much more. Hundreds of back issues from the Torch newsletter, both in text and PDF format now, and a lot more. Just check out the whole list of VIP features. It costs $7.50 per month to become a member. It is cheaper if you subscribe for longer term. And we also have an availability of paper copy subscriptions to the Torch newsletter where you can have it delivered to your doorstep. All 15 pages every week with news, analysis, exclusive columns, interviews, and more. And with a newsletter subscription, it's about 75 cents more per week to get the newsletter delivered to your home, but you get all the other online VIP benefits along with that. So basically, it's just cost of postage and printing we pass along to you. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter to us either way which option you choose. But if you'd like to get that 16-page paper copy delivered to your door, you might want to check out that option. Otherwise, you can go with the eSub option, and I hope you'll maybe give us a try for 1 month and see what it's like to have access to the complete VIP audio shows every single day. All right, that's it for me. Until next time, on behalf of the entire Torch staff, I thank you for listening, and I sign off.